When I walked in today, I felt like, you know, this feels like a holy day. You know, we're a smaller group here today, but it certainly feels like a holy day. And it's so good in these times that we are in to remember what a holy day feels like and to be with you on such a celebration as this. Well, this is the beginning of the 2021 holy day cycle. So once again, God's going to tell us the story of our salvation, beginning with the Passover and now the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The whole story or the whole plan of our salvation is being played out in these spring holy days. We're freed, first of all, by the death of Jesus Christ, and our old man, as we've heard, is put to death with him, put in the grave with him. And now, because he lives, we live with him. And these days of unleavened bread picture now us coming out of sin, putting it out of our lives. He is risen from the dead, and the wonderful meaning of this Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Unleavened Bread, is that we put Christ in us. We put Jesus Christ in us. Let's turn now to Romans chapter 6. We'll start here in the scriptures in Romans chapter 6 with the first scripture of today. And this is the theme for the message today. Romans 6 and verse 4. This is a verse hearkening back to our baptism, where we are buried with him in baptism. We are buried with him through baptism into death, that symbolic death that we went through, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. This Feast of Unleavened Bread teaches us to replace sin with righteousness, to walk in the newness of life. And the only way to put sin out of our lives is to put Jesus Christ in. God has given us this feast. He's given each one of us individually this feast as an opportunity to re-energize your efforts to do that, to put sin out and put Christ in. So the purpose of this message is to encourage you to renew your efforts to walk in the newness of life. And that's the title, Walk in the Newness of Life. As Paul instructed the Corinthians, we put out the old leaven and we become a new lump. As he explained to the Corinthians, we invariably turn here to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Our understanding of this feast is taken very much from these few verses here that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we've gone through now the process of taking out the leaven, and as we think about what Paul is telling us here, perhaps you can think about some of the stories in your life where you found a little leaven. Your glorying is not good, Paul writes to them. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. And we are unleavened. We've done that work. We've put that leavening out of our homes and places of business, or what we have control over in that respect, or perhaps our office desk at work, our car, our workshop, wherever that we can have control over, we've taken that leaven out. And we've examined ourselves to prepare ourselves for the Passover, and we've taken that Passover. And we are now unleavened. For indeed, verse 7, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And therefore, let us keep this feast, verse 8, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, we all know the story and the background of this instruction from Paul, what was going on with the Corinthians. They were tolerating sexual immorality in their midst, and they're also tolerating divisions among them. And Paul said, get rid of that. Get rid of those things and become unleavened, become a new lump. As Paul encouraged this mostly Gentile church, this has become our understanding of the New Testament meaning for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Purge out the old and become a new. Walk in the newness of life. I imagine we all have had stories over the years of where we have found leaven in our lives and how we accidentally perhaps ate unleavened bread or ate leavened bread during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And those all serve as a reminder, an object lesson for us. God gave the command in the Old Testament, of course, in Exodus chapter 12, to the Israelites where they first heard this, that they were to keep this feast for 7 days. Let's look at that in Exodus chapter 12 and see the command where it was first given to Israel to keep this feast for 7 days. As they had come out of Egypt with a mighty hand, God's power and intervention brought them out of Egypt, working the miracles. And now, verse 15, he says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And then verse 16, on the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. It's what we are doing right now. And on the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation for you, which we plan to do in 7 days from now. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So today is a Sabbath of rest, and no manner of work today. It is a Sunday, one of the few Sundays that, during the year that we will be in services this year. In the New Testament, then, with our understanding of what this means, this physical act of removing leaven takes on a whole new meaning. A whole new meaning, and the symbolism is simple and yet very profound. So the lesson we could take here, one of the first lesson, is purge out the old leaven, get rid of it. As Israel was commanded, we are to get rid of it as well, get it out. It's a simple object lesson, but it has very deep spiritual meaning for us. And sin, like leaven, will spread and permeate our lives. If we let sin in, it starts to spread. Do you not know, Paul wrote, that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven. Leavening, we know, is an agent that in the dough of the bread causes that dough to rise. It reacts with that dough. It basically eats the sugars in that dough and gives off a gas called carbon dioxide, a harmless gas to us. But that gas expands that dough and causes it to rise. In the same way, when sin gets in our lives, our minds become leavened. We start to become inflated and have a bigger picture of ourselves than we ought to. When the Israelites left Egypt, they had no time to spare. And so they took their dough and wrapped it, and it was unleavened. Let's read about it in Exodus 12. We're still here in verse 33. Verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent. They urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. And this was because of the plague of the firstborn that had killed every firstborn in Egypt. And Israel was spared by the blood on their door, the post of the door, and the lintels. They were spared as they remained in their houses until the morning. And they were passed over, as we've been passed over. God has passed over our sins through Jesus Christ. And so, verse 34 says, they took their dough before it was leavened, and having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders so that bread was not exposed to that air where it could become leavened. And then the Israelites, as they came out of Egypt, that story of their taking that unleavened bread with them pictures for us, as we know, sin. Coming out of Egypt, which is sin, and now eating unleavened bread. Leaven for these 7 days pictures sin. And Paul compares leaven with malice and wickedness. Now, what is malice? What is malice? What is the leaven of malice and wickedness? What is that? Well, malice you could think of as something that you hold in your heart, something that you're holding there, something against someone, something even against God, something you're holding on to that you need to let go. And wickedness, you could look at it as the actual act of carrying out that intent of the heart, breaking the law of God. And what happens when leaven gets into that dough, as I explained, it rises? Can you reverse that? You can never reverse it. It can't be reversed. You can't take that leaven out of that leavened bread. You can't do it. It cannot be reversed. And that's a striking metaphor for what sin does to our hearts. When it gets in us, sin leavens us. The effects of that remain with us in our bodies, in our minds. We've all sinned. So that leaven, the effects of it are still there. We can't let any more leaven in. And that's what these days tell us we must do. Keep that leaven out. Take it out and keep it out. Get rid of it. Just as that leaven permeates the dough, as the scripture says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So we have this sin now, the effects of it, in our mortal bodies, and we're really as good as dead in our mortal bodies because we have in ourselves the wages of sin, which is death. And thank be to God, He's given us our Savior, Jesus Christ, that His life now might be in us. We put this old man to death, figuratively, by the baptism. Now we're walking in the newness of life, letting His life be in us, letting Him live in the place of our old man, putting that old man in the grave and really keeping him there, not letting him back out. We cannot put sin out of our lives, though, on our own. We cannot put it out and keep it out on our own. It's not something we are able to do without God's help. And that's why we have Jesus Christ and the help that He gives us through the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son come to us and dwell with us as we symbolically eat now the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If we allow leavening into ourselves, that it takes hold of our minds, it starts getting in there, and it affects our relationship with God. If we allow it to remain, it affects our relationship with God. Just as leaven puffs up bread, our minds become puffed up if we allow it, with pride and hypocrisy. We want to be sure that we are not puffed up in our minds toward God, but we keep our minds unleavened before Him. This is really the fundamental problem with mankind and his relationship with God. Mankind says, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. And we get puffed up in our minds. Wasn't this what tempted Eve and Adam in the garden when they looked at that tree and they saw, oh, that's a tree that's desirable to make one wise. I want that wisdom for myself rather than listening to God's wisdom. And she took of that fruit and ate it and then gave it to her husband and he ate with her. They were puffed up in their minds, doing something God says not to do, relying on their own wisdom rather than the wisdom of God. Really the fundamental problem that man has with God. Jesus, in his ministry, used leaven as an object lesson for teaching about avoiding the hypocrisy of false religion. He said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy," you know, putting on a show when that's not really the truth. You're putting on a show. You're acting like you're righteous, but inside you are not. And Jesus warned us against this. During his ministry, there were two occasions which he performed miracles that fed thousands of people. One time 4,000, another time 5,000. And it was after one of these miracles of feeding thousands, when his disciples had gone over the Sea of Galilee, that they'd forgotten to bring bread with them. It was right after this miracle. And they'd forgotten bread. And Jesus said to them, this is in Matthew 16, if you would turn there, Matthew 16. Jesus said to them, Matthew 16, "Take heed," and verse 5, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." Verse 6, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And the disciples wonder, well, what's he talking about? Is he telling us that because we forgot bread? We forgot the physical bread? And then he asked them in verse 11, "How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, physical bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" And then they understood, verse 12, that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of that. Their doctrine puffed them up. They thought they were righteous before God, when actually inside they were not. This is something we all need to beware of. Like leaven that spreads and puffs up dough, these leaders of the men, the religious leaders, had a corrupting effect on people. Just as leaven gets through the dough, their leaven got through and corrupted the people. And in their pride and arrogance, they led the people to reject Christ. As we know, they stirred up the crowd on the day of the Passover when Christ was killed, to stir up the crowd against him and cause Pilate to make a judgment and put him to death. But the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is a life without hypocrisy. So we must remove that spiritual leaven from our lives that puffs up our minds before God. Don't live for the praise of men to be seen as righteous. Live for the praise of God. Let God look at your heart and see an unleavened heart, an unleavened mind. Have the mind of Christ. And we could see what that mind is in Philippians 2, a familiar verse to us. We see in the life of Jesus Christ meekness and humility of one who always looked to God, never looked to his own righteousness, but he always looked to God. Philippians chapter 2, having the mind of Christ. Verse 7, "He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, saying to his Father, 'Not your will, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, Father, but yours be done.'" He humbled himself. That is the mind that we need in us to walk in newness of life, to live an unleavened life before God. And so a second lesson we could take from these days of unleavened bread is that we put out the first lesson, put out the old leaven, purge it out. The second, eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, which is symbolizing taking in God's righteousness. And as we've already heard in our message earlier, Christ is the true bread of life, that he, as he taught us. He lives his resurrected life in us through his Spirit. And as we put out the leaven, we take unleavened bread for these 7 days, for a whole week. And that teaches us to really focus on this lesson. To eat that unleavened bread of sincerity and truth means that we're taking the life of Jesus Christ in us. That's the new life that we now walk in for a week. And we have to be constantly vigilant. I've mentioned before, you might have had those stories where you accidentally took leaven. Didn't realize it at the time, but maybe you woke up that evening or laying in your bed thinking, oh, I just had a donut this morning at work and I forgot. They're always there on Fridays. And that's really where we are a little, vulnerable when we're outside of our homes, which are de-leavened. But when we go outside or to a restaurant, into our workplace, or with other people in the world, that's where we're more vulnerable and we have to watch. And of course, it is an object lesson for us that somehow we let down, somehow our guard wasn't up, then we accidentally ate that leaven. It just teaches us that we always have to be vigilant of our thoughts and actions. We have to watch and make sure that we're not taking in leaven. We must replace our human weaknesses and sinful tendencies with something far better. Those human weaknesses that we all have, and the sin that is already dwelling in us, we must replace with something far better. That is the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, taking in God's righteousness. As we've rehearsed numerous times already in these holy days, as they've just begun, we have been buried with Christ. And now we are raised with him to walk in the newness of life. And his resurrected life is in us through his Spirit. So Jesus Christ explained the meaning of this unleavened bread that we must eat. It's in John chapter 6. And we'll stay here for a few verses. So John chapter 6, Jesus teaches us the meaning of this unleavened bread. In verse 32, beginning there of John chapter 6. And then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you that Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God, verse 33, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That's Christ himself. And they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always, not really knowing what they were saying. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Because God has sent his Son into the world and given him to us, we have this bread in abundance. We have the bread of life. God has made it tremendously, abundantly available for us to continuously eat. He's provided us with something far better than the leavened bread. We have the leavened of malice and wickedness. We have the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, abundantly available. Verse 48, again, I am the bread of life. You must eat the bread of life. Your fathers, verse 49, they ate the manna in the wilderness and they're dead. That did not preserve their lives. This is the bread, as they thinking in my imagination, as I think of him talking about it, this is the bread, pointing to himself, which has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And he did that for us. when he allowed himself to be sacrificed for us. The manna that God gave the Israelites in the wilderness, that was temporary. It was physical. It lasted for a day, and then it began to breed worms and stink, except it lasted for 2 days from Friday until Sunday, so they could have the Sabbath rest and not have to gather the manna on the Sabbath. But it was very temporary. God provided it for 40 years, and then it stopped. But this bread from heaven does not stop. It does not have an end. This bread from heaven does much more than satisfy temporary hunger. It satisfies the much deeper spiritual hunger. And just as physical bread gives life to physical life, the bread of God is essential for eternal and spiritual life. And if we do not eat this bread, taking it into our bodies daily, constantly, we cannot have eternal life. So to rid ourselves of the leaven of sin and wickedness, of malice, we must fill our lives with the unleavened bread of life. We must take this bread into our lives. So eat this bread, the true bread from heaven, as Christ said, the bread of God, the bread of life, the living bread which came down from heaven. This is what the meaning is of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is what we must eat. So Paul writes, keep the feast, not with the old leaven, but with not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And then the third lesson, we must walk in the newness of life. To walk in the newness of life. We struggle in this flesh. All of us do. We have desires in our flesh that we must not let control us. They must not become our masters, but we must master our flesh and our minds with the help of God's Spirit. Let's see this in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Talking about this struggle and how we are to live according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. As was also mentioned in the sermonette. Verse 5 of Romans 8. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That's where their mind is. But those who live according to the Spirit, on the things of the Spirit, on the things of God. For to be carnally minded is death. If we think on our own, if we do it our own way, it'll end in death, as it has for mankind since the beginning when he sinned. The ways of man end in death, but to be spiritually minded, verse 6 says, is life and peace, to have that spiritual life with God. So we cannot feed this carnal nature. We cannot put those things in it which cause us to sin. We have to put those things out of our lives. Each one of us has to deal with this. We have to look at ourselves and say, what is causing us to sin? Are we lingering too long at looking at things or thinking things that we shouldn't be doing? And the Holy Spirit will show us these things if we are eating the bread of life. God's Spirit works with us to show us where we need to focus our thoughts, where we need to improve our thoughts, where we need to improve our actions, not letting ourselves, not letting our carnal nature be fed. We can't become a slave to the things in our flesh, anything that's contrary to the Spirit. We cannot become a slave to it. And this is what this Feast of Unleavened Bread is teaching us. It's really a gift from God, really an opportunity to say, you know, I've dealt with this long enough. I'm done with it. I'm going to fix this problem and get rid of it, get it out of my life. I'm going to go to war against it and take it out so that I'm not a slave to these things. We can't be like the world and just live according to what comes into our minds and to our thoughts and to our emotions, but we must keep our minds on spiritual things. Each one of us, let's go over to James chapter 1. We'll be back in Romans shortly. You might want to hold your place there, but we'll be back there. James chapter 1 tells us the action of sin, what happens and how we end up sinning. What is this process that our minds and our emotions go through when we're tempted, as it says in verse 14, and drawn away? James 1 and verse 14. Each one of us is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The things that our carnal mind will go for. Each one of us has that. And we can't let ourselves go in that direction. We're tempted that way. And when this desire has conceived, when we look at it too long, and when we think of it too long, when we want it too much, this desire has conceived. Verse 15. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, it puffs up, goes everywhere in our minds, brings forth death. But don't be deceived, my beloved brethren. Don't be deceived. Christ taught us how to deal with things. If they come up in our lives, if we have issues that we need to work on and thoughts that we need to control, he gives us the instruction how to deal with that. It's over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. This is what you do. Matthew 18 and verse 8. Verse 8. If your foot or your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Cut it off. And cast it from you. For it's better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands and two feet and to be cast into everlasting fire. In other words, Christ is saying, get rid of it. Stop it. And if your eye causes you to sin, verse 9, pluck it out and cast it from you. Of course, he's speaking figuratively. So if your eye is wandering and looking in places it shouldn't, or your mind is going in places it shouldn't, cast it out, get rid of it. For it is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and to be cast into hellfire. Well, this is the discipline that we all need to have control over our flesh and over our carnal natures. To do that, though, with the power that God gives us, the power of His Spirit, His life within us, that newness of life that is in us. So we'll now go back to Romans, this time to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and telling us not to be slave to the things in our mortal bodies. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, which we did, by our baptism, we died with him. We believe that we shall also live with him. We're walking in newness of life, knowing that Christ, verse 9, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. He's alive forever. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died, verse 10, to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. That's our example. So likewise you, also, verse 11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Those things in our bodies and our minds in this world, reckon yourselves dead to those things, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Don't let that be your master. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but that means your body, your mind, your being, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, to work the righteousness of God. For sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law. In other words, you're not under the penalty of the law, but you are under grace. God has forgiven those sins by our faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we can now walk in the newness of life with his grace. We died with him. That old man we put in the grave, as we recalled the other night, as we're recalling now, that, and it harkens back to our baptism. We're buried with him in death. Now his resurrection to immortal life enables us to walk in newness of life. This morning, at this time in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, would have pictured something in the Old Testament called the wave sheaf offering. It would have occurred on this morning during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the morrow, the day after the Sabbath, and that day fell, this day falls in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The wave sheaf, the priest took that wave sheaf, it was the first of the barley harvest, he cut it piece of that harvest, and he waved it before God and represented the sacrifice, or rather the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This was a representation of the first fruits of God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was, in essence, harvested by God the Father before the rest of mankind is harvested. And he's become, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, risen from the dead and become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That ceremony this morning, the wave sheaf, pictured Christ's ascension to glory, his resurrection and ascension to glory with the Father. It allows us now, because he is risen, and he has ascended to the Father, we can now walk in the newness of life. We died with him, and now we are alive with him, because the grave could not hold him. And his death has become for us victory over sin and death, because the grave could not hold him, and he's now alive. His resurrection and life now enables us to walk and the newness of life. Let's come over then to Colossians chapter 3, where Mr. August was earlier. I'll read a few scriptures here. A few of the same scriptures that Mr. August went through. Colossians chapter 3. Where is our mind going to be now? Where do we put our mind? What do we focus on? Because we're raised with Christ, where do we put those thoughts? What do we look for? Verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth, not on the things of the flesh and this world. For you died. You died. That old man is dead, and your life is hidden with God. You're walking in newness of life now. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, when he appears in glory, and then you will also appear with him in glory. That's where your life is now. That's where we need to put our minds. Therefore, he says, verse 5, put to death your members which are on the earth. Those things Jerry listed or went over: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, and more that he went through earlier. We are to now walk and newness of life. Doing those things, putting those things away with the help of the life of Christ in us. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 16, Paul says, and I say, walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Keep your mind on the spiritual things where the life of God is. Eat that unleavened bread, the bread of life. Keep it full in your mind. Keep it rich and dwelling there. Walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll put those things away. This feast is our opportunity to re-energize and refocus our efforts to do that. For those, verse 24 now of Galatians chapter 5, for those who are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We put that flesh to death with the power of God's Spirit. And if, verse 25, we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is, walking in the newness of life. So purge out the old leaven. God commanded Israel to get rid of leaven for this feast. And we also do that now. But we have this New Testament understanding of what that means. Getting rid of leaven for these 7 days represents getting rid of sin. Something we have to work on. Be very diligent about it. And if we don't, that sin, like leaven, will spread and permeate our lives. We cannot let that happen. We must put out the leaven of sin, which we can do with Christ's help. And just as that physical leaven puffs up the bread, spiritual leaven in our minds puffs us up against God. We don't want that. We must keep ourselves humble before God by taking on the mind of Christ, putting his mind in us. We must eat now the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Use this feast as a catalyst to be more diligent about perhaps your Bible study and what you need to do to keep that bread in you, to keep eating that bread. Do those things. Eat that bread that symbolizes eating the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, taking in God's righteousness. Christ is that bread of life. He is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of this bread and not die. His life now, his resurrected life, is in us through the Spirit. He is that bread that we must always eat. So renew and re-energize your efforts. Use the Holy Day season as a springboard to action and walk in the newness of life. We struggle with this flesh, we all do, with its desires that wants to please itself. Do not let that carnal nature control you. Each one of us are in that battle. If we set our minds on things of the flesh, we'll live by our carnal mind and we will reap the wages of sin, which is death. But if we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, we will walk in the newness of life. The death of Jesus Christ begins this Holy Day season again as we memorialize that death the other night. His death in our place allows us to be dead to our past, to be able to put those things behind. And now his resurrection enables us to walk in the newness of life. This feast of unleavened bread teaches us to replace the sin in our lives with the righteousness of God. Take action, brethren. Take action. Get those things out. Renew your efforts. And the only way you're going to be able to do this, to really put it out, put the sin out of your lives is to put Jesus Christ in. And this feast is a gift from God to help you do that and re-energize your efforts and help you see the meaning of why God wants us to rehearse this feast once again this year. In closing, I'll read Romans 6, verse 4, where we started out. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.